Okay, so I told you last week to run ahead to that Vav and Beis, and that's where we're going to pick up the next couple of sugyas, Vav and Beis onto Zayin and Aleph. So that's the plan. Today's sugya will be today and tomorrow maybe, and you know, not much if anything after that, and then we'll move to Dav Zayin already. So the Gemara finally got through Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Right, we finally got through the whole sugya. We had six solid blot about Befanei Nechtam, and now we're holding on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda tells us, Amar Rav Chisda, about six lines from the bottom, Li'olam Aliyatil Adam Eime Yaseir B'Sof Beiso. A person should always be careful not to be Matil Eime Yaseir B'Sof Beiso, not to cause extra fear and anxiety in one's household. And this is obviously a very important mussar, that a person has to have aim for a relaxed environment in the home. The environment in the home should not be overly tense. There are enough stresses that life provides without us creating our own, and we should do our utmost to try not to have any stress in the house, but particularly that no one should be fearful of the balabas, let's say, that everyone, you know, it shouldn't be that when the father of the house or the husband walks into the room, that the wife all of a sudden tenses up. Adrava, she should be more comfortable and be more relaxed when her husband is home. It should bring joy, and that should be the only type of feeling that that she gets when she sees him, not a feeling of fear. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kufay Amud Beis. You know, we don't have it here, but we'll ooh, I could put it up here. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kufay Amud Beis seems to imply otherwise. It seems to imply that a person is allowed to be matil a little im in his house. Should I put it up? Not as well. We have it, right? I'll turn it on and see. Yeah, so the Gemara in Shabbos, let's see if I can find the Gemara. I just made a note on the side of the Gemara. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us about the context of the discussion is what's called mekalkel and what's called mesakin in Melacha Shabbos. That when you destroy something, when you do melacha on Shabbos in a destructive fashion, so you're not going to be chayiv. It's a lack of melachas machshavas. You're only chayiv when you do melacha of Shabbos in a constructive fashion, not in a destructive fashion. So the Gemara says, what about the following? Mishnah says, Shabbos, kofeh embeis, hakorea b'chamaso. Let's say a person tears something in his anger, and it's therapeutic for him to let out his anger. He just needs to punch a wall or something, right? There's every year or so there's a pitcher in the major leagues who punches a wall with his pitching hand and has to go in the DL because he's a moron. But you know, but why does he do it? He does it because it lets him let out his anger. So is that called masakin because he's letting out his anger and therefore it's considered to be something that he's chayiv for, or is it mekalkel? Hakorei b'chamaso ve'al meso v'kol mekalkelin peturin. So if anyone tears in anger or tears over a dead body, and any other mekalkel is patur on Shabbos. But mekalkel v'nasa sakein, shirukim sakein, fine, let's leave out the rest of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, the Gemara asks, so Gemara asks, we have this brisa. Titanya Rav Shimon Elozer Omer Omer Al Meis. B'shas Yitzias Neshama. If someone's there when someone dies, Chayiv L'Kroa, he has to tear Kriya. Halamaze Dome. L'Sefer Torah Shenisrafa. It's just like being there when a Sefer Torah gets burned. This is an important halacha for doctors. If you're there at the moment of death, when somebody dies, l'chora, you are chayiv to tear kriya, regardless, as long as it's a Jewish person. We compare a Jewish person to a Sefer Torah, a Jewish person dying to a Sefer Torah that gets burnt, a chayiv tear kriya. Says Mura lo tzricha de lo kai b'shas tiyas neshama. Okay, that's only if you're there b'shas tiyas neshama. Tenach meso, el chamoso, chamoso, kasha. But we still have a stira between our mission about tearing in anger and another mission that apparently we quoted somewhere over here, about tearing in anger, where we said that you're going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, Chamasa Chamasunami Lokasha. Harab Yuda Harab Shimon. Harab Yuda Melach Shin Shrich Lugufa. Chayvel Harab Shimon Melach Shin Shrich Lugufa. Patrala. So it all depends when you tear something out of anger to calm your anger. So that's a question of that. That is an issue of Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa. Why is that an issue of Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa? What's the definition of Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa on Shabbos? So typically speaking, we generally assume that Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa means I am doing the same Melach they did in the Mishkan, but I'm doing it for a different reason that they did it for in the Mishkan. So when they would tear in the Mishkan, it was tearing on a straight line so that it could be sewed properly, or tearing down to a size, to cut it to a particular size. But when we're tearing over here, we're just tearing to let out our anger, so that would be Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa. And whether you're chayiv or not depends on what you hold about Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa in general. So says the Gemara, a little bit weiter. Hamakrei begad bechamasu v'mishaber kel bechamasu v'mfazim mos bechamasu yebeinach kovid avod zara. If a person tears clothing out of anger, you should view him like an ovid avod zara. Shekachum nasu shli yetzer hara, because that's how the yetzer hara works. Hayom amrlo aseikach, l'machar amrlo aseikach. He gets you on the little things first. Get angry, overreact, and ultimately it'll get you on Avodah Zarah. Amrav and Maikra lo yevucha el zar v'lo shtach v'lo el nechar. Ezu el zar sheyesh begufa shel adam. Have you ever said yetzer hara? What's the el zar that a person has? It's yetzer hara. So l'tzricha t'kavi l'mirme e'masa a'inshi beisei. Says the Gemara, No, there's a difference over here. When are we talking about Korea Bechamasa, that it's not Ovid Avodah Zarah, that it's a good thing, that it might even call them Misakein? When you're doing it, Lemirma Emasa Ainshi Beisei. What does that mean, Lemirma Emasa Ainshi Beisei? To give a sense of fear to the people in your house. Meaning you want your kids to know, or your wife to know, that you're seriously angry. So you start breaking things. So that's okay, as long as you're not really angry. You want them to know that you really disapprove of their behavior, so you start smashing things. So that's misaking. That's okay. But if you're just really bringing things because you can't control yourself, you can't control your anger, then it's no good. So it sounds like the mirme masa inchi beise is a good thing. Right? That it's a noble cause. No? From this Gemara, yeah? No, so he's saying that's when it's Yetzer Hara. When Yetzer Hara tells you to lose control and to get angry. But over here, you're not getting angry, you're expressing disapproval by breaking things. But it's not real anger. You're just doing it because you want them to know that this kind of behavior is not acceptable and it's going to get a serious reaction out of you. But it's not really, you're not losing yourself, you're very thought out. And you're doing this dafka to make an impression on everybody else in the house. And that's okay. What impression are you trying to make? Ema. You're trying to make them fearful. Emasa, ayin shibese. Yeah?
To be fearful of the Baal Bais?
That's what it sounds like, right? You want to scare them. If someone comes home, if your father comes home and says, what's going on? Why isn't my dinner ready? Or something, and like, sorry, didn't have time, or I was busy with other things. And he starts smashing things? That would make you afraid. I'd call the cops. That should put a little fear into you. So what's going on over here? Right. This is the kasha that some of the achronim raise. That it seems that on the one hand, al yatil adam em yisera. So the simple answer is, what's Rav Chisa's lashon? No, the al yatil adam em yisera b'sof beisof. But it sounds like too much ema is no good. But in good measure, if you have the right amount of ema, that's okay. I don't recommend trying this at home. I strongly recommend trying to have no ema b'soch beso. That it should be all benachas. But nevertheless, that could at least be miyashiv the stira. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in the second paragraph of Hilchos Deos, tells us that sometimes a person has to show anger without being angry. He says it's important sometimes for a person to beino beinatzmo, it's daito miyusheves. He's calm, he's fine, he's really okay. But he has to be mara atzmo kikaweis. He has to show and act as if he's angry, so that an impression can be made. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let's say your kid does something terribly wrong and dangerous. Right? A 4-year-old kid runs into the street into oncoming traffic or whatever, and the car's, you know, short stop, and they admit, thank God, and the kid is safe. So you, even if you're not angry at the kid, because it's a 4-year-old kid, what does the kid know? You know, you're not angry at the kid, and really, you know, you realize you probably should have kept a better eye on the kid. But you have to show anger toward the kid. You have to show them that it's very serious. Otherwise, they'll continue to do that, and that could be very dangerous for them. But it doesn't mean to actually feel anger. To show anger is different than to feel anger. That's what they recommend. If a person has to discipline their child, they should never do it while they are angry. Discipline the child once you calm down. Because when you are angry, you're likely to overreact, and you're going to be doing it to make yourself feel better, because you're so angry, just to calm yourself, rather than to do what's best for the child. So maybe that's the difference between Ema and Ema Yesera. To be Matil Ema means to show, to exhibit a certain sense of Ema. Ema Yesera means to show a real anger where people are actually afraid because they see that you're really angry. So that might be a difference between the two things, yeah? Right, good. That's always the good cop bad cop that they play in camps. They have you know, the director, that counselor. You know, one of them is always the nice one. One of them, you have to be, but you need a bad cop. You need someone to, you know, to lay down the law. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. So you shouldn't be matei miyisera. Why? Where do we learn this from? So I would have said svara. What do you need a source? But the Gemara says shari pilagesh begiva. Because the story of Pilegesh Begiva led to tens of thousands of Jews dying, and it all started with a husband being Mati Le'ema Yisera B'soch Besa. Wow, that's pretty significant. So what was the story of Pilegesh Begiva? So I put it in the Marmakomas in case anyone's not familiar. This is at the end of Sefer Shoftim. At the end of Sefer Shoftim, we have one weird story after another. The stories are extraordinarily strange. And the Navi, throughout all the stories, keeps reminding us, Bayamim Ahem lo haya melech bi Yisrael, that in these days, Pesel Micha, the story of Pesel Micha, completely odd story, but the Navi keeps reminding us, these stories happened because there was no melech bi Yisrael. Why does the Navi tell us about this at the end of Sefer Shoftim, and what, about these weird stories, and why does it always tell us that there was no Melech B'Yisrael? Because what the Navi is trying to do is set us up for the next Sefer, which what comes after Shoftim? Shmuel Aleph. And what happens in Shmuel Aleph? We appoint the king, we find David HaMelech, right after Shmuel has a short career as the Navi and the leader of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says, you know what, we're ready for a king. And the Sefer Shoftim, the end of Sefer Shoftim is there to... The whole Sefer Shoftim really sets up the need for a king. Because what's Sefer Shoftim? Sefer Shoftim could be described pretty much in two sentences. The Jewish people sin. The Shofet comes and warns them that they're in big trouble. They do tshuva, and they sin again. You know, it's a cycle. It's a constant cycle. We had no direction. A Shofet would come here, would come there, but there was no hemsheichus, there's no continuity of a malchus based of, that a malchus based of it, and that strong leadership would provide. So the weirdest stories are saved for the end of Sefer Shoftim, where the Navi obviously is trying to tell us, because there was no strong leadership and direction in Klal Yisrael, these crazy things happened, and that's why we needed a melech. So what happens at the end of Sefer Shoftim? Ba'yibayam mehem melech ein b'Yisrael. How does it introduce the story? There was no melech. Ba'yish levi garbiak sehar afrayim v'yikach lo isha pilegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. There was a guy, took a pilegesh from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Vatizna alav pilaksha vatelech me'ito al Beis Avi al Beis Lechem Yehuda. The Pilegesh had znus. She went to her base of Yehuda. She went to her father's house, to Beis Lechem Yehuda, and stayed there for a while. Vayakom isha, vayelech acharel daber aliba la shiva la shiva. He gets up to try to get his Pilegesh back. He brings along his lad with him, you know, a helper with him, an assistant, and he goes to the father's house, and he sits with the father, talks to him. And he's ready to go back home. And the Avi Anara says, eat something and then you'll go. They eat together. And then the Avianara says, why don't you stay a little bit longer? So the man gets up to go and he says, come on, stay a little bit longer. And he says, fine. So he stays there another night. Next morning, Yom HaChamishi, on the fifth day, he gets to go. And again, tries to get him to stay a little bit longer. But ultimately, he goes. Ultimately, he leaves. And they're traveling and they don't find anywhere to stay. And they are put up in a stranger's house. Listen to this story if it sounds somewhat familiar from a story in Chumash. So in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer l'naro lech v'nikrava be'achad ha'makomos v'lanu b'giva o'barama. Let's go find a place to stay. V'yarvu v'yelchu v'tov lem ha'shemesh etzal ha'giva shel b'nyamin. So they end up in the area of Binyamin, in the Giva. V'yasuru sham lavo l'alun b'giva v'yavu yeshe baruchu v'ir v'ein ish ma'aseif osam ha'baisa l'alun. So they go right out into the middle of the city, looking for hospitality, and no one's offering it. V'ine ish zaken ba min maaseu min asad be'erev, v'ish mehar afrayim v'gar b'giva v'anshe makom b'nei yimini. The man comes, there's an old man there that's coming back from work, and he sees a guest in the middle of the street. And he says, "Ana telech ma'ayin tavo. Who are you? Where are you coming from?" Makes friendly with him. Vayomer lo avav manachem beis lechem Yehuda ad yachsear Ephraim misham anochi veilech ad beis lechem Yehuda ves beis Hashem ani lech veinish maaseh vosi abaisi. He says, "Nebuch, I'm traveling and no one's to be ringing me. No one's giving me hospitality. No one's giving me a place to stay." V'gam tevin gam espro yesh lechem reinu v'gam lechem yain yesh li lamasechel inarim avdecha ein machzor kol davar. We have everything we need except for a place to stay. So the man says, Shalom lach, rak kol machsorcha alai, rak berchov al talun. I'll take care of everything you need. Come, don't sleep in the streets, you should stay by me. Ve'yevel lebeso, brings him home. Ve'yevel ve'yevel lechamorim, ve'yuchsu raglei, ve'yuchl v'yishtu. They eat, they drink, everything's great. Everyone's having a wonderful time. Then what happens? Pasuk chav gimel. V'yinei anshe ye'ir, anshe b'nei b'liya'al. The people in that city were bad guys. Nusvas abayis mitdapkim aladelos veyomru alaish balabayis azaken lemar hotseyos heish asher abayischa v'neida enu. They start banging on the door and they say, "We saw a guest. We want you to throw that guest out so that we shall know him." And of course, all the mafarshim say, "What is it referring to? Mishkav Zachar." Ve'etzei aleim heish balabayis veyomr aleim elachi alachi al tiru na acharei asher ba heish hazel beisi. Come on, I have a guest. Can't you let him go? Can't you? What do you have to, abuse him for? Why do you have to bother me? Just let it be. Then what does he do? And if you want someone to abuse, here! And he shoves out the Pilagesh and his daughter. You want someone to abuse, abuse them. Leave my guest alone. Such a strange story, no? He's thrown his own daughter out on the street, and the guy's pilagish, who the guy had traveled all the way to get back. Here, take them. Do as you please with them. They didn't want to listen, so finally the man takes his pilagish, walks out with his pilagish, and says, "Here, take her," and they abuse her all night long. Ada boker, veishlachu baalos kalos hashachar. Batavu ishal from a boker, vatipol pesach pesa isha shar dinah sham ada or. The woman gets to the house in the morning, and she collapses on the doorstep. He wakes up the next morning, opens up the door to go get the paper or whatever, and sure enough, there's that woman, his pilagish, lying across the doorstep. With her hand on the threshold, like as if she was trying to climb in, she was trying to get in, and that's when she had collapsed and died. He said, "Let's go," and she didn't answer because she was dead. So he puts her body on his donkey and he travels home. So he takes a machelas. What's a machelas? a shechita knife. Ve'chazek b'pilag shovi inatchel la'atzmel l'shneim asr netachim. And he cuts her up into 12 pieces. Ve'yishalcha b'chol gvul Yisrael, and sends a, you know, a piece to each shevet. Ve'yakol ha'ra avamar lo niyas av lo niyas ha'kazos li'yamim. L'miyom ha'los b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ad yom hazeh. Everyone said, whoa, nothing like this has ever happened since we left Mitzrayim. Simu lechem ala eitzo v'daberu. So let's do something about this. So what happened? They went to Shevet Binyamin. People were so upset by this. They went to Shevet Binyamin and they said, hand over the people that are responsible for this terrible thing that happened, for this terrible maisa. Shevet Binyamin refused to do so, and it led to civil war. And tens of thousands of people died. Why? Because the person was matil aiming a seir b'sof b'sof. What's the only part missing from the story? The part of the Eime Yisera B'sok Pesa, right? That doesn't appear in the story. Well, but the Gemara is making the assumption that why did the Pilegesh have to run away? Probably because the husband got angry and she had to run back to her father's house to feel safe, to feel protected. So it all started with Eime Yisera B'sok Pesa. It's a bit of a, you know, of a stretch to say that it's that Eime Yisera that led to the tens of thousands of people dying. No, it was the bad guys in Binyamin. You know, what are the Eime Yisera was just a circumstance that had them end up sleep over in Binyamin. Let's say there never was Eime Yisera and they happened to be sleeping over in Binyamin. Right? So the same story would have happened. But nevertheless, we have this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megalgal Zuchus Al Yidei Zakai and Chov Al Yidei Chayiv. That when bad things happen, Hashem makes it happen through people who deserve it to happen through them. And when good things happen, Hashem makes it happen through good people who deserve good things to happen through them. Right? It's not just mazel. When my wife and I first got married, we used to try to dabble in shiduchim a little bit, try to settle my friends with her friends. And I have a close friend of mine, a chavrusa of mine, who's a tzaddik of tzaddikim, and his wife tzaddikas, phenomenal, phenomenal people. And they also tried to dabble a little in shidduchim. Every single time they set people up, they got married. It was unbelievable. My wife was successful a couple times. I never, ever, except for twice. Twice I set someone up because they asked me, do you think this is a good idea? I said, no, it's a terrible idea. And they said, well, do it anyway because we want to, you know, I want to be set up with that person or someone forced me to do it. And those were the only two times it worked. where I was forced into it. But I always tell my wife, why is this other couple so successful? Because they're tzaddikim. It's not that they're smarter than us, they understand people better, they're tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megal Gal Zuchus Al Yidei Zakai. They're very, very special people. So okay, it doesn't always work that way. There is sometimes we can't always explain things, but that one was easy to explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Zuchus Al Yidei Zakai. So we assume this happened through him because he deserved this to happen through him. Why did he deserve this to happen to him? Because of the Eime Yisera. Says the Gemara Vayter about this Eime Yisera business. Amar Vidom Rav Kalamat Eime Yisera B'Soch Beso Sofu Bali De Shalosh Averos. It's going to lead you to three Averos. Gilei Arayos Shvichz Dam Mechil Shabbos. Eime Yisera leads to those three Averos. Now, why? How does Eime Yisera lead to those three Averos? Zokt Rashi. Gilei Arayos So what's going to happen? How's Eime Yisera, how's an unhealthy fear in a relationship between husband and wife going to lead to Gilei Arayos? She's going to lie about going to the mikveh. Because if it'll be too cold, she won't be able to go, but she's not. She's going to be terrified to tell her husband that she didn't go. And she's going to say she did go, and he's going to sleep with her when she's in Nida. What's the issue with that, Rashi? He's making an assumption. That Nida counts as Arayos. Right? So we saw that Asfond Araisa of Yosef Engel that discusses whether, in fact, Nida really is one of the Arayos. We already had this in the Eirach and Ambisurin Sugya, this Asfond Araisa. And he quotes Yerushalmi. Or the Yerushalmi says, "Lama yatzas nida mechal arayos to tell me the din of hara of tchilas bia. Why don't we just learn nida from all the other arayos?" So the Yerushalmi says, because you would have thought that you're only chayav anida mishum tuma. So it's different than all the other arayas. But what do you see? That the fact that we call it yatzus mechlal arayos, we see that it is considered one of the arayos. It's considered erva, as the Yerushalmi calls it erva. That's what it seems at first. But says Rav Yosef Engel, if you look in the Korban Eda on the Yerushalmi, Shom Garas, Shalot Tomar Hol Vein Chayavan Alem Yishum Tuma Chulei, Upirish Vizel Shana, Hol Vein Chayavan Alem Nida Mishum Tuma, Pirish Mishum Erva. How does he translate the word Tuma? Since you're not Chayavan Nida because of Tuma, now Tuma I would have said is Tuma, there's such a thing as Tumas Nida. No, but he's translating Tuma as Erva. Elo Mishum Nida. The reason you're chayiv for sleeping with a nida is not because it's arayos, rather it's because there's an isser called nida. Hilka chavamina d'leofina l'mishar arayos. So I would think it's different than all other arayos. Mishum hachi isser chlemichtav gabi nida. That's why he needs to tell me this din of hara by nida as well. The kavanaso nira, what he seems to be saying is as follows. De erva kari lo b'Yerushalmi tuma. That when the Yerushalmi uses the word tuma, it's referring to erva. Al derech amvor b'shasti dani vamos yir alfa mir alf tsara sota asura maitayim atuma ksiv bakarayos. The Talmud Bavli does the same in Maseches Yevamos. Refers to arayos as tuma. Ulufi dvarav yish gam kein chiddush b'Yerushalmi anal de nida lo mikri erva rak iser greda. But what the Yerushalmi is telling me is hava amina, I might have thought that it's a din of, that it's different than other arayos because it's not a din of erva. So what's the kamash malan? Kamash malan is that it is a din of erva. V'nafkamina le'inyan yaharik v'alyavar le'inyan ein davar shaber pachs mishnayim. When my nafkamina, what category you put it in? You call it arayos, you don't call it arayos. What difference does it make? It's us who sleep with the nida, right? Who cares whether you call it arayos or not? Says Rav Yosef Engel, two important nafkaminas. Number one is Yarek Valyavar. Only three averes Yarek Valyavar, one of them is Gilei Arayos. Does this count as Gilei Arayos? Nafkamina number two, Ein Davar Sheberva Pachas Mishnayim. Anything that involves Erva, you need to aid. Do you need to aid them over here? Yeah?
The Pasuk says straight out that it's Erva, and that it's
Tumah. Ah, so the Torah calls it Erva, right. So over there, erva does not. Legalos erva is a physical description of the action. You're being. It's a lashon nekiya way of saying ma'isabia. You're being megale her erva in the ma'isabia, but that doesn't necessarily mean that every ma'isabia is arayos. So the Torah could just be describing the physical act as opposed to the category that it belongs in. That's a good point though. So that's how Rav Yosef Engel writes. Now, this is a major discussion in the Achronim. This idea of whether this issue of whether a nida has a din of arayos or not. If you look in the Beis Yosef in source number 5, Beis Yosef in Yerdeyasim Kuf Tzadihe. Anyone know Kuf Tzadihe in Yerdeyas about? You're not married yet. You will know. Kuf Tzadihe is in Hilchos Nida, and it is the siman about Harchakos. So the pasuk that Eitan just read, Lo Sikravu Legalos Erva, you shouldn't be too karov to an erva. So that's the Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Yudgimel was it? And the Gemara in Shabbos says that the story of the Chassid Echad, of the guy, Talmud Echad, who didn't behave properly with his wife when his wife was in Nida. So at the end of that story, the Tanya Eliyahu, the Navi says that he deserved to die because lo nasa panim la Torah. Pasuk says lo sikravu legalos erva, and this guy was way too karov. He was lo nasa panim la Torah. It's actually machlokas mefarshim over there. Who is lo? The Eliyahu Navi declares how you know, Baruch HaMakom Shahargo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed for killing this guy, Shalom Nasa Panam LaTorah, that he was not Nosei Panam LaTorah. So Machlokes and Mefarshim, who was not Nosei Panam LaTorah? So Pasha reading is the guy wasn't. The guy slept with his, not slept with his wife, but slept in the same bed with his wife, Bekir Basar, and ate with her without any shinoi, and drank with her without any shinoi, violated several halachos of harchakos, of nida. So he didn't pay careful enough attention to the sikravu. I think the Marsha says, no, it's Baruch HaMakom Shargo Shalom Nasa Panam LaTorah, that Hashem was not Nosei Panam LaTorah. Meaning Hashem could have said, ah, I know this guy deserves to be punished, but he learned so much, so let me just overlook everything. I'll, you know, pretend, you know, sometimes when you put on the rose-colored glasses, you know, there are people that could do no wrong in your eyes, because you like them. So with Hashem, the thing that gets him to like us is Torah. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overlook a lot of our flaws when we have Torah. So Eliyahu Navi was saying, in this instance, Baruch HaMakom, that he didn't, he was not Nosa Panam LaTorah. He wasn't swayed by the person's Torah. Anyway, so Kuf Tzadiyeh is about all the Archakos. Many of which are lent out from that story in Sech Shabbos. So says the Beis Yosef, Kosovot B'Shumas Adashim B'Shem Gadol Echad D'Isha Nida Chola U'Ba'al L'Rofei Asur L'Mashmish La Hadefek. Let's say you have a woman who's ill and her husband is a doctor. Is he allowed to treat her while she's in Nida? He says he's not allowed to treat her in the private area. Sounds like even if there's no other doctor, why is that a gigantic chiddush? Sakaras and fashos. Dealing with a woman who's ill. There's no other doctor. He's the only one who can treat her. V'gamet chubas laramban kuf chavzayin asul lebal lemashmish tefakish lo nida afal pi shalosh nasheila hayu b'shiyeshem rof mecherim. Even though it sounds from the Shaila of the Ramban that the case happened to have been where there were other doctors available, it's just that the husband was one that was around all the time. But he says, you know, from the tshuva that the Ramban gives, where he says that it's asur, sounds like he would even have been machmir if there were other doctors, if there were no other doctors around. But let's say she was mamish dangerously ill. Then maybe it's mutter mishum pekuach nefesh. That's a very important. What's he saying? Pekuach nefesh is docha. Why is pekuach nefesh docha this? Because it's not gilei arayos. Eladik al meimer dil time yazil. To suffer the negias nida ina asura elamid rabbanan. Maybe this is Ramban l'shita so that it's only an issur d'rabbanan to touch a nida b'derech chiba. Aval haRambam d'negias erev asur min haTorah hach af b'shish b'pikach nefesh efshar da'asur mishum da b'Israel d'gilei arayos. So the whole, what does Beis Yosef say? Whether or not a husband can treat his wife when the husband is a doctor and there's no other doctor available and she is dangerously ill, depends on whether the issur of touching a nida b'derechiba is an issur d'rabbanan or an issur d'oraisa. If it's an issur d'rabbanan, mutter. If it's an issur d'oraisa, that catapults it into the category of abizrayu d'gilu arayos. It's not gilu arayos mamash, she's not sleeping with her. But it's Abizrayu Degila Raisa, and Sanhedrin we learn even Abizrayu Degila Raisa is Yarek Val Yavar. The whole premise of the discussion is that Nida is a Raisa. Otherwise, the discussion doesn't begin. How could touching her be Abizrayu Degila Raisa if sleeping with her isn't a Raisa? So the whole premise of the analysis of the Beis Yosef is that Nida counts as a Raisa. Like Rashi, right, like Rashi's mashm over here, that it does count as arayos. And this machlokas Rambam Ramban is a very, very important machlokas. Rav Yosef Engel has a different piece where he discusses the concept of siyag da'oraisa. I'm sure we've mentioned in the past. Do we ever find that the Torah makes a fence around its own words? We're familiar with the Rabbanan always making a siyag la Torah. Rabbanim make all sorts of dinim to protect the dinei Torah. Do we ever find that the Torah makes a din d'oraisa just to protect another din d'oraisa? So he gives, I don't know, 20 examples or something. There's a Rashbam by Kisui Adam. The Kisui Adam is to protect you from eating the dam, so you cover the dam so you don't come to eat it. You need an explanation of why it should only be on Chayeva Oaf then and not in Behema. Okay, Akasha. A lot of examples. One of the examples he gives is the Shitas Ha. What is it? Rambam Ramban. Which one said it's Daraisa? Shitas Ha Rambam. That Negia Benida Bederechiba is Nis Daraisa. Why is Rasumi Daraisa? Lest you come to sleep with the Nida. Siag Daraisa. This is the very, very well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But he's also making another assumption. And that is that if something is only Asr Midi Rabbanon, that by definition it cannot be Abizrai Degila Arayas. Is that so pashal? When something is Asr, it looks like Arayas, you know, like it's related to Arayas in some way, but it's only Asr Midi Rabbanon, that can't be Abizrai Degila Arayas, he's assuming. What's the story that the Gemara told in Sanhedrin that relates to Abizrai Degila Arayas? Remember, the Gemara tells a story about a guy who was sick. He was going to die. And what did the doctors prescribe? They don't prescribe this anymore, but there used to be doctors that would prescribe that is, since he's lovesick with that woman, he needs to sleep with that woman in order to make him better. So they said, sorry. She's... So it's Gilei Arayos. So the doctor said, okay, you know what, it may work if he, whatever, if he looks at her undressed. So, nope, Abizrai de Gilei Arayos. Is that an Issa d'Arayosa to look at her undressed? Definitely. Right? What's the pasuk? Sisurach Reinechem. So then they said, okay, maybe let her stand me'achari ageder, she'll stand behind the mechitza, and they'll just talk to each other. That will be enough to put his mind in gear and get him over his illness. Abizrai Degila Arayas. Abizrai Degila Arayas. Where's the Yisrael Arayas in that? Al Tarba Sicha Misha. Fine. Where's the Yisrael Arayas talking to a woman? So, according to this Pes Yosef, what you have to say is that the Isser is not in the Maisa of Dibur, it's in doing anything that's going to get him all worked up, that's going to get him aroused. So every person has to know what's going to get them going. And if he knows that's it, the fact that he gets over his illness shows that it was something that got him aroused, so that's something that he has to stay away from. That by definition becomes a... So that's the issue. The lo susuru achre levavchem achre einechem is that a person shouldn't have his yetzer hara, shouldn't be engaged. So you're engaging the yetzer hara. That's the issue. I asked Rav Shekel last week. Someone asked me about a book they were assigned to read in college, and it had objectionable material in the book. Every book you get assigned probably in literature is going to have some objectionable material. So I didn't... Bein mitzad the avodah zarah shavo. A lot of times you have comparative religion, they want you to read about other religions. But bein mitzad the arayos shavo. Any novel person reads, right? They don't write stuff anymore without it. So much, I don't know. Harry Potter, I guess, I don't know, I never read Harry Potter, but my impression is that people let their kids read it, so I assume. Right? But they... Really? A little bit? Okay. Later books, when Harry gets a little older? Okay. Anyway. So Shekh didn't understand the question. I was like, so what do we do? Like, where do you draw the line? I don't mean where you draw the line. It's got bad material, so it's Yahari Gali Avar. What kind of line? The line is, if it's got something that will engage your Yetzer Hara, then it's bad. So So maybe that's what the Beis Yosef is referring to. It doesn't have to be a Maisa Isser, that it's a Maisa that you could say this Aveira in the Torah. It's not the Maisa, it's the engagement of the Yetzirah, which is the whole underlying problem of Lo Sasur Acharei Einechem. So it doesn't have to be brought on Dafka by the eyes. It's just that normally Ha'ayin Roa V'Alev Chomed, and then, you know, the Averas go from there. But even if the eye doesn't see, it can also be a violation of that Isser. So that's in terms of that Rashi of Gilei Arayos. We'll just read the other two Rashis. So what does Rashi say? How does it lead to Shlichus Damim? Ki hacha. So he says, well, you know, we just said Pilegish Megiv, tens of thousands of people die. Opa'am shabarachas miparav nafalas ba'achas ha'psachim o begeshe. Sometimes she runs away from him because she's terrified of him, and she'll trip and fall and die. Number one, it's a stretch. What's the other problem? Is that Shvichas Damim? I said, I'm so angry! And she runs, and she runs off a bridge because she didn't realize that there was... I murdered her? Is that called murder? In Halacha? He's at shul, she realizes there's not going to be any warm food for Shabbos because she forgot to cook, so she quickly cooks something on Shabbos because she's afraid, what's her husband going to say if he comes home and there's no hot food for Shabbos? So that's Chil Shabbos, right? What about Shvichas Damim? What are you telling? Right. So what's Rashi talking about? Right. Why not just say he'll kill her in his anger? He'll get angry, she'll run away, she'll run. Is that even called Shlichus Damim? Maybe Rashi's trying to make a point that fits the Gemara. The Gemara says, we learn from Pilegish Begiva three things. That you shouldn't be Matheim Yisrael B'Tzach Beisa. Pilegish Begiva is the source, and when you're matleiv miserev b'tzach beis, so these things happen. Did the guy commit shvichas damim in Pilegish Megiva? Well, I mean, he handed her over, but he didn't know they were going to kill her. He thought they were just going to rape her. wasn't the best husband, but he didn't kill her. So the point is, shvichas damim is the loss of human life. That's what we're worried about. It wasn't even her life, we're talking about tens of thousands of lives. Which he certainly wasn't directly responsible for. So Rashi's telling us how to tie Shvichas Damim. It's not that you're going to be a murderer. Just because you have Emiya Serbis of Bezos doesn't mean that we're choshed that you're going to kill your wife. But death will result in this. And that's why Dafka gives an example where there's death that results. It's not direct. Yeah.
I think it was last year. Didn't we also define Shvichas Damim as
when
you
marry
someone?
That is an Abizrayu, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, of Shvichas Damim. Yeah, the Gemara says like that.
Can't you say the same thing over here for
an imam? Okay, but when in general, if we can make it Shvichas Damim mean actual death, I think we prefer to come up with an explanation that works with actual death rather than rely on the secondary definition.
He's not taking a hammer.
Right. But her blood is being spilled in the end of the day. So I think that's what we're trying to do. Maybe we'll discuss a little bit about that issue, that shaila of Shvichas Damim tomorrow, and we'll go through Tosos and finish up the rest of the sugya.
One other thought, maybe for Shvichas Damim, maybe because she's an Ida, she's a Mitzvah, is that considered Shvichas Damim?
No, because it's still a Zera Levatala. Zera Levatala would mean it doesn't enter her body. If it enters the Gufayish, it still wouldn't be Zera Levatala, so I don't think so. Okay.